Blog Talk Radio.
Steps to Christ. Chapter 1. God's Love for Man. Nature and revelation alike testify of God's love. Our Father in heaven is the source of life, of wisdom, and of joy. Look at the wonderful and beautiful things of nature. Think of their marvelous adaptation to the needs and happiness, not only of man, but of all living creatures. The sunshine and the rain that gladden and refresh the earth, the hills and seas and plains, all speak to us of the Creator's love. It is God who supplies the daily needs of all His creatures. In the beautiful words of the psalmist, "The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest Thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing." Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16. God made man perfectly holy and happy, and the fair earth, as it came from the Creator's hand, bore no blight of decay or shadow of the curse. It is transgression of God's law, the law of love, that has brought woe and death. Yet, even amid the suffering that results from sin, God's love is revealed. It is written that God cursed the ground for man's sake, Genesis 3:17, the thorn and the thistle, the difficulties and trials that make his life one of toil and care, were appointed for his good as a part of the training needful in God's plan for his uplifting from the ruin and degradation that sin has wrought. The world, though fallen, is not all sorrow and misery. In nature itself are messages of hope and comfort. There are flowers upon the thistles, and the thorns are covered with roses. God is love is written upon every opening bud, upon every spire of springing grass. The lovely birds making the air vocal with their happy songs, the delicately tinted flowers in their perfection perfuming the air, the lofty trees of the forest with their rich foliage of living green, all testify to the tender, fatherly care of our God and to His desire to make His children happy. The Word of God reveals His character. He himself has declared his infinite love and pity. When Moses prayed, "Show me thy glory," the Lord answered, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee." Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 and 19. This is his glory. The Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin." Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. "He is slow to anger, and of great kindness, because he delighteth in mercy." Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. Micah chapter 7, verse 18. God has bound our hearts to him by unnumbered tokens in heaven and in earth. Through the things of nature and the deepest and tenderest earthly ties that human hearts can know, he has sought to reveal himself to us. Yet these but imperfectly represent his love. Though all these evidences have been given, the enemy of good blinded the minds of men so that they looked upon God with fear. They thought of him as severe and unforgiving. Satan led men to conceive of God as a being whose chief attribute is stern justice, one who is a severe judge, a harsh, exacting creditor. He pictured the Creator as a being who is watching with jealous eye to discern the errors and mistakes of men, that he may visit judgments upon them. It was to remove this dark shadow by revealing to the world the infinite love of God that Jesus came to live among men. The Son of God came from heaven to make manifest the Father. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. John chapter 1 verse 18. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Matthew chapter 11 verse 27. When one of the disciples made the request, "Show us the Father," Jesus answered, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father?" John chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. In describing his earthly mission, Jesus said, "The Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Luke chapter 4, verse 18. This was his work. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by Satan. There were whole villages where there was not a moan of sickness in any house, for he had passed through them and healed all their sick. His work gave evidence of his divine anointing. Love, mercy, and compassion were revealed in every act of his life. His heart went out in tender sympathy to the children of men. He took man's nature that he might reach man's wants. The poorest and humblest were not afraid to approach him. Even the little children were attracted to him. They loved to climb upon his knees and gaze into the pensive face, benignant with love. Jesus did not suppress one word of truth, but he uttered it always in love. He exercised the greatest tact and thoughtful, kind attention in his intercourse with people. He was never rude, never needlessly spoke a severe word, never gave needless pain to a sensitive soul. He did not censure human weakness. He spoke the truth, but always in love. He denounced hypocrisy, unbelief, and iniquity, but tears were in his voice as he uttered his scathing rebukes. He wept over Jerusalem, the city he loved, which refused to receive him, the way, the truth, and the life. They had rejected him, the Savior, but he regarded them with pitying tenderness. His life was one of self-denial and thoughtful care for others. Every soul was precious in his eyes. While he ever bore himself with divine dignity, he bowed with the tenderest regard to every member of the family of God. In all men he saw fallen souls whom it was his mission to save. Such is the character of Christ as revealed in his life. This is the character of God. It is from the Father's heart that the streams of divine compassion, manifest in Christ, flow out to the children of men. Jesus, the tender, pitying Savior, was God, manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. It was to redeem us that Jesus lived and suffered and died. He became a man of sorrows, that we might be made partakers of everlasting joy. God permitted his beloved Son, full of grace and truth, to come from a world of indescribable glory to a world marred and blighted with sin, darkened with the shadow of death and the curse. He permitted him to leave the bosom of his love, the adoration of the angels, to suffer shame, insult, humiliation, hatred, and death. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. Behold him in the wilderness, in Gethsemane, upon the cross. The spotless Son of God took upon himself the burden of sin. He who had been one with God felt in his soul the awful separation that sin makes between God and man. This wrung from his lips the anguished cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. It was the burden of sin, the sense of its terrible enormity, of its separation of the soul from God. It was this that broke the heart of the Son of God. But this great sacrifice was not made in order to create in the Father's heart a love for man, not to make him willing to save. No, no. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, John 3:16. The Father loves us, not because of the great propitiation, but he provided the propitiation because he loves us. Christ was the medium through which he could pour out his infinite love upon a fallen world. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, 2 Corinthians 5:19. God suffered with his Son in the agony of Gethsemane, the death of Calvary. The heart of infinite love paid the price of our redemption. Jesus said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. John chapter 10, verse 17. That is, my Father has so loved you that he even loves me more for giving my life to redeem you. In becoming your substitute and surety, by surrendering my life, by taking your liabilities, your transgressions, I am endeared to my Father, for by my sacrifice God can be just and yet the justifier of him who believeth in Jesus. None but the Son of God could accomplish our redemption, for only he who was in the bosom of the Father could declare him. Only he who knew the height and depth of the love of God could make it manifest. Nothing less than the infinite sacrifice made by Christ in behalf of fallen man could express the Father's love to lost humanity. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave him not only to live among men, to bear their sins, to die their sacrifice. He gave him to the fallen race. Christ was to identify himself with the interests and needs of humanity. He who was one with God has linked himself with the children of men by ties that are never to be broken. Jesus is not ashamed to call them brethren, Hebrews 2:11. He is our sacrifice, our advocate, our brother, bearing our human form before the Father's throne, and through eternal ages one with the race. He has redeemed the Son of Man. And all this that man might be uplifted from the ruin and degradation of sin, that he might reflect the love of God and share the joy of holiness. The price paid for our redemption, the infinite sacrifice of our Heavenly Father in giving his Son to die for us, should give us exalted conceptions of what we may become through Christ. As the inspired Apostle John beheld the height, the depth, the breadth of the Father's love toward the perishing race, he was filled with adoration and reverence, and failing to find suitable language in which to express the greatness and tenderness of this love, he called upon the world to behold it. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, 1 John 3:1. What a value this places upon man. Through transgression, the sons of man become subjects of Satan. Through faith in the atoning sacrifice of Christ, the sons of Adam may become the sons of God. By assuming human nature, Christ elevates humanity. Fallen men are placed where, through connection with Christ, they may indeed become worthy of the name sons of God. Such love is without parallel. Children of the Heavenly King, precious promise, theme for the most profound meditation, the matchless love of God for a world that did not love him. The thought has a subduing power upon the soul, and brings the mind into captivity to the will of God. The more we study the divine character in light of the cross, the more we see mercy, tenderness, and forgiveness blended with equity and justice, and the more clearly we discern innumerable evidences of that love that is infinite and a tender pity surpassing a mother's yearning sympathy for her wayward child. End of chapter 1.
Amen, amen. Just want to thank my brothers and sisters for joining the prayer line this evening. And we will begin with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, Father, we come before you once again on this Sunday, Lord, to give you thanks, to give you praise, and to thank you for this week's journey. Lord, we had a blessed Sabbath, and Lord, we thank you for another Sabbath weekend. And bless your name as your servants, as your people, as your children come to give you praise tonight. Father, we pray for the Holy Spirit as he lead and guide us and teach us what thou want us to say or even to know. Oh, Father, thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, your only begotten Son, that we can come to the throne of grace and ask for forgiveness of our sins. And Father, we know that you hear us. Oh, we give you praise. We give you glory and honor. Thanking you for this prayer line. Bless my brothers and sisters, each and every one. And we thank you in your Son, Jesus' name, we do pray. Bless the reading also. And also every prayer, every song, and every word that comes from your servant's mouth. And we thank you in the name of our Savior, Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Amen. And brothers and sisters, I want to read prophecy because this is a really good choice that Sister Carla put on the board, and I like to read this one. And it says the end time events. It says our Savior joy was in the uplift and redemption of fallen men. For this he counted not his life dear unto himself, but endured the cross, despising the shame. So angels are ever engaging in the working for the happiness of others. This is their joy, that which selfish heart would regard as humiliating service, ministering to those who are wretched and in every way inferior in character and rank, is the work of sinless angels. The Spirit of Christ, self-sacrificing love, is the Spirit that pervades heaven and is the very essence of its bliss. This is the Spirit that Christ's followers will possess. The work that they will do when the love of Christ is enshrined in the heart like sweet fragrance, it cannot be hidden. Its holy influence will be felt by all with whom we come in contact. The Spirit of Christ in the heart is like a spring in the desert, flowing to refresh all the making, those who are ready to perish, eager to drink of the water of life. Amen. I want to thank you, Father, for this sweet word, knowing what our Savior have done for us. So now, Father, bless your children tonight on the prayer line as they give testimonies and praise to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And brothers and sisters, I see the hands up, so let me begin to open. I want to thank the Lord for each and every one, and I want to say welcome, one welcome all to Advent Light Ministry. And I will open the line for 518-650. Your line is open, and you can give your name and where you call it from, amen.
Good morning. Good afternoon. My name is Paulette Barnaby. I'm calling from Albany in New York. And I would like to sing a song and read Romans 8:16 and Isaiah 51, verse 11. I'll sing the song first. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of the Spirit, washing his blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And Isaiah 51 verse 11 is saying, therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. Yes, and Romans 8, verse 16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Our Father who art in heaven, thank you, Lord, because you said your spirit beareth with our spirit because we are your children. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us, for guiding us, for protecting us in this time where there is so much going on. You are the only God that we can call upon. So, Heavenly Father, please heal us because we belong to you. We are asking you for your guidance, for your protection, for your keeping care, for your tender mercy over all of us along with our families, Lord. Have your way in our life. Have your way in our life, Lord, and let your will be done in our life so that we can sing, because we know that you are the blessed, you are our blessed assurance. You is mine, O God. You are the foretaste of our life. Thank you for hearing, for answering our prayer. I pray with thanksgiving. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen, amen. Oh, Sister Barnaby, thank you for that song, Blessed Assurance. This is my story. That should be all of our songs. I thank God for you and for singing that song. And I just want to say thank you once again, especially for giving us a prayer and being another prayer mother on this phone, because we do know the more prayers we have from our elderly, you know, I've always heard once that the elderly is the one keeping this generation. So, Mother Barnaby, thank you once again. I'm so glad. The more mothers we have, the more blessing we are on this prayer line and making it strong by God's grace. Amen. Thank you, Sister Barnaby, once again. Amen.
You're welcome.
Amen. So, brothers and sisters, we are grateful for our mothers on this prayer line. So now we're going to open the line for 518-9951. Your line is open. Praise God. 958-951 on mute. You probably, she's probably on the other line, but you know what? We can always. Okay, Sister Power, you there? Okay, we're going to come back to her. I know she will be back, and because sometimes she has urgent emergency calls. So, and we know that she has a ministry in Jamaica.
Sister Leona,
okay,
are you hearing me?
Hello? I can hear you now. Yes, ma'am. I
okay.
can hear you.
Okay,
amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Leola, for to be patient on me. I was on mute. And also, thanks to Sister Barnaby, our dear, dear sister, to come on with her wonderful song and prayer. God is so good. God is so great. The Lord wants us to be together at this time. And you know what? We know that it is a blessing for us. So I just want to thank. And as I will sing this little song, because you know what, my dear beloved, I need Jesus every hour. And I do know my brothers and my sister need him every hour, because we cannot do anything without him. So I'm just going to sing a few words of it. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, we need thee. Every hour we need thee. Oh, bless us now, my Savior. We come to thee. We need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptation lose their power when thou art nigh. We need thee, oh, we need thee. Every hour we need thee. Oh, bless us now, my Savior. We come to thee. We need thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. We need thee, oh, we need thee. Every hour we need thee. Oh, bless us now, my Savior. We come to thee. We need thee every hour. Teach us thy will and thy rich promises in us fulfill. We need Oh, bless us now, our Savior. We come to thee, most righteous and eternal Father. We want to thank you that we have a Father that we can come to and let him know we need him every hour, every minute, every second of the day. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for the Father who has gave his life, his sacrifice on Calvary Cross for his children, because he knows that we need him. We need him every hour. We want to thank you, dear Father, for the provider who we can come to daily, minutely, and ask him, Lord, to provide for us, because he knows we need him, and he is willing and ready, dear Lord, to take care of his children. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this line that we have can have the opportunity that we as brothers and sisters can come freely without molestation on this line to praise you and to give. We want to thank you for our sister, Lord, who joined, dear Father, from all over the world, from the Netherlands, Africa, Asia, Louisiana, Tennessee, Jamaica, and all over, who are listening on the infant internet. We want to thank you for them. We want to thank you for those who accept Christ because of us, Lord, on the line, that they could listen to your word and get converted, and their Father and is a part of you. Lord, we want to thank you. So this evening, dear Lord, what more could we ask of you? What you have done for your sons, what you have done for your children, as we can rejoice and give thanks for answered prayer, Lord, because we know that we have been petitioned on our family members, on our children, on our grandchildren, the community, our leaders, Lord Jesus, and all what is going on for you to keep us, and we have allowed us that we could keep our eyes fixed upon you and be obedient to your will to share your message to who we come contact with. So we want to thank you for that. And as we come this evening to listen to the praises, to listen to your words, fresh bread from heaven, we want you to cover us under your blood and allow the message to reach within us, that we will be an example. We will be one who you said to us that we have to look upon you and follow your example so that we can become sons and daughters of you and also to be with you for eternity. Heavenly Father, we just want to praise you this evening. Bless every brothers and sister on the line. You know them by name. You know them by nature. Sister Leola, who is monitoring the line this evening, bless her and her family. Sister Brenda and Brother John, Sister Barnaby and her family member, Sister Powell and her family, Lord, we place to you. Sister Cancinelli, Father Brother Ray, we present Brother Richardson, Elder Richardson, and Sister Richardson, Brother Richard, Lord Jesus, Brother Rick and his family, Brother Yudi and his family, Sister Carla and her family. Dear Lord, we present Brother Elroy and his family, Brother Sister Stephanie and her family, Sister Tamika and her family, Brother Eli and his family, Javelle, and all his friends, dear Lord. We lift them up to you, dear Lord. There are so many people, Lord, we can lift up. You know every one of them, Brother O'Neill and his children. We lift them up. And now, dear Lord, we lift up the pastor, Brother Akin, James. We lift him up to you. Continue to pour out your best, Brother Ricardo, Elder Ricardo, and his wife and his ministry. We lift them up to you. What more we could ask you? We lift up the Louisiana Evangelist Outreach Program that is coming up soon. We ask you to pour your blessings. We ask you to send your angels out on the street, Lord, to soften the people's heart so that when they hear your word, that they will not reject, but they will accept. We ask you to bless us, Lord. We lift up our youth. You know all about them, and keep, guide, and protect them. We pray in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line, and also thank you all for listening.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Powell, for giving those prayers. Oh, so needed. We need prayers. I thank you for praying for each and every one of us. As I was saying to Mother Burnaby, and I thank you too, Mother Powell, for you all lifting us all up. I know God hears the prayers of his servants that plan for these, his children, I know. So I'm thanking you on this prayer line that you continue, and not just for us on the prayer line, you lift all those up, and when you all are praying, y'all lift all those up in other countries. By God's grace, these people are getting their prayers answered. So thank you so much for just blessing us tonight. Amen. And we're going to go to the next caller. So brothers and sisters, I'm going to say again, welcome to Advent Light Ministry. And I just want you all to be patient. God is going to bless us tonight. So please just be here and press one and share your testimony with God. It has done for you this week. You know, I was thinking as the Sister Power and sisters and brothers, as I was playing that God love for man, Sister Power, when I think about when I went in to deliver LaCole, I was sick, cold blue. They said I died. Well, I was come, they brought me back by doing emergency surgery, and you know how many of us have come so close to death, almost was gone, and knowing that God got you here today. So you know what, when I was just listening to that, Sister Power, I said the love of God, what he did for us, I say, Lord, I just thank you, because I'm here today, 62 years. I was about, actually my daughter was born, I was about right at 17, and today I'm here after 47 years later. I'm here, so I thank God for that. So as you pray for us, God is, and we got to stay humble. Thank you, Sister Powell, once again, as you are praying. So let us go and open the next line. I want to thank sisters and brothers for being patient. So let me open the next line. Amen. Yes, we're going to open the next line for 423-635. The line is open. Can you give us your name?
Amen.
And where you call it?
Yes, amen. Good evening. This is Sister Carla from Tennessee. I'm just thanking the Lord, and I'm praising him for his goodness, his grace, his mercy. I was off today, so I just thank the Lord. Times when I get to take off, especially, you know, to do my errands, to work in the garden, and to get things done. And also on those days that I'm able to join the prayer line, it's a blessing. And it's also, it was a blessing to hear Sister Barnaby's voice. I haven't heard her in a while. So I just thank the Lord for bringing her back, for making her presence known on this line. And she's, you know, great. Mm-hmm. She was greatly missed. So it's a blessing. And I just want to share this reading. Amen. Sorry. And it said, the work and the life. God is the source of life and light and joy to the universe, like rays of light from the sun, like the streams of water bursting from a living spring. Blessings flow out from him to all his creatures. And wherever the life of God is in the heart of men, it will flow out to others in love and blessing. And that is so true. Once we have the love of God within our heart, within our home, within our ministry, it will flow out to others. So let us continue to strive to be Christ-like and to have this love of the Lord as a fountain filling up with waters, with love, and that others may know that we have been with Jesus and we have a mighty Savior. So thank you again, Sister Leola, for opening up my line.
Amen.
You're probably on mute.
Amen. Thank you, Carla, for sharing that with us. And once again, giving Sister Bonnaby a blessing. You see, we all so happy to hear from Sister Bonnaby. Glad for her to be back on. Sisters and brothers, when anyone is missed on this prayer line, we pray and pray and ask God to bring them back, because the presence, the prayers, the songs, all of these things are missed from that one person. That it's so many people that we have missed on this prayer line. So we just praying that God will bring them back to the prayer line, because every song, every prayer, it was really uplifting and it helped another person. So thank you once again, Sister Carla, for just giving Sister Bonnaby a shout out and saying welcome back, and thanks for her coming mm-hmm. back. Amen. So now we're going to go to the next caller. Amen. We have 843-206. We will open your line. Can give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for opening my line, Sister Neola. This is Sister Tymeco calling from Florida, and I'm so grateful to be here on this line. I just thank God for another precious day of life. I thank God for taking care of my family, my children, my grandchildren. Are such a blessing that He takes good care of us, even though we may fall short many times. God is still here for us. He still protects us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. So I'm so grateful for that. And I just want to give more praise and honor and glory, because you are so worthy to be praised. And I have a scripture I would like to read, and it's taken from Psalms 121. And it says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, from this time forth, even forevermore. Amen. So I'm so grateful that we can read our word in the Bible, knowing that God is always here for us, and He is always protecting us when we leave out. He's watching our going out and our coming in. So that is such a blessing. This is another one of my favorite scriptures. I do have a song to sing, Sister Leola, but if you have others on the line, I can wait and sing another time. Amen. Sister Leola?
Amen, amen. We got to, we will, we don't have no one else that put on just yet, and we can allow you to sing that song if you can go ahead and sing your song. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola. Thank the Lord. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail now. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have need is thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Sister Leola, for opening my line. And I thank you so much that I was able to sing for this beautiful prayer line. Thank you. I love you all. And my, I thank Sister Powell for also for praying for each and every one of us. And also, we're so happy to have Sister Barnaby back. It is such a blessing. God is so awesome. So thank you so much, Sister. Love you all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Seth Tamiko. Great is thy faithfulness. And you know, great the faithfulness, what God has done. And like I was saying, he brought our dear mother back. And we are having two mothers, Sister Powell and Sister Barnaby. They are our elders. And we always call the elders our mothers. And Sister Barnaby is the other mother. She's the mother that prays for us. So, you know, and that's why we are so grateful. Because when we have our elders on this, you know, God wants us to treat our elders as though they are our mothers. Because when you look in the Bible, when God was talking to Moses, he always says that the mothers and fathers, your mothers and fathers, you are like your mothers and father, or your mothers and fathers this and that. So I tell the young children, I'm a mother to you. So if you don't mind hearing what I have to say to give you some good advice, tell them. So I look at Sister Powell, at when she give me advice, I take that advice, and I just pray, ask the Lord to give me strength, and that I can do those things. And Sister Barnaby here now, and she's praying for us on this prayer line. So we thanking her for what she's doing. And also, my brothers and sisters, let us just keep her in prayer and her family also. Amen. So now we're going to go to the next caller. We're going to open the line for our next caller. It's 631-552. We're going to open your line. And I sent you a message also. Look at the message, please. You can give your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Blessing good night, sister. Yeah, blessing good night, Sister Leola. Blessing good night, brothers and sisters. Thank you for your prayers and the song. We are living in a very interesting time on Earth history. And as a people, God has been so good to us. And I want to share a quote from the book Christian Service. Very interesting quote from this book. Because we're living in a time of the end where our means is so important to finish this work and to help to speed the gospel on. That Jesus Christ will come. It says, page 40.1, it says, the work cannot stop for want of means. More means must be invested in it. Brethren in America, in the name of my master, I bid you wake up. You that are placing your talents of means in a napkin and hiding them in the earth. Who are building houses and adding land to land. God calls upon you. Sell that ye have and give alms. There is a time coming when commandment keepers can neither buy nor sell. Make haste to dig out your buried talents. She continued. He says, if God has entrusted you with money, show yourself faithful to your trust. Unwrap your napkin and send your talent to the exchangers, that when Christ shall come, he may revive his own with interest. She says, in this next paragraph here, she says, said, what if some become poor in investing their means in the work? Christ for your sake became poor, but you are securing for yourself eternal riches, a treasure in heaven that faileth not. Your means is far safer there than if deposited in the bank or invested in homes and lands. It is laid up in bags that walks not all. No thief can approach it. No fire consume it. So that's, you can get that quote from Selected Message, Christian Service page 40 to 41. Counsels on Stewardship as well. You get that book, you get it as well. Counsel on Stewardship. So I pray that as we listen to this very deep counsel, it will enable us to know that everything that we have is not for us but for God. And God has entrusted us with means so that we can be a blessing to others, and especially for the work of helping others to know Jesus as we have met him. And we know what happened to the disciples when they stopped clamoring for earthly position, and when their mind was transformed through the agent of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Acts 2 they were on one accord. The Bible says that they were daily giving of their means so that the gospel could speed on. And we see what is coming with the central bank digital currency, where your money will be trackable, your money can be disappear in your account without you noticing. And we see what is happening in Jamaica, speeding on the process already. And as I watch a video today with the Prime Minister saying that he's already under the unction of the United Nations to do their biddings for them, to set a standard. And we know what is coming in America as well, because America is making sure that all the world is organized first. And then when it launches in America, it will be chaotic. Sad to say, many people will have heart failure when all their investment just disappear in a moment. As we see what happened in the Great Depression in 2008. Thank you for this opportunity so that I can share. Thank you, Sister Viola, for opening up my line.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother O'Neill, for always bringing us some updates. As you're saying, I was wondering myself, I went in on my app and to see whether or not my husband's check was deposited. And they had took a long time. They was doing some more updates. And they had shut the bank down one day. And they said he was doing updates. You know, we know that they preparing for all this stuff is coming. And it's no reason for them to be doing all these things, somebody shutting it down, and that they had to close the bank to do it. It wasn't a holiday. It was a shutdown to change some things. But, you know, we got to be prepared, as God says. We got to practice. We got to practice the things that God wants us to be like. We cannot just say that all of a sudden this thing going to change. This comes with practice. So as I used to practice that softball, I got to practice to get good at what God wants me to do. This is what we are doing today. So by God's grace, our brothers and sisters, we are standing. We got to stand firm for God, because it's nothing else going to do. So thank you, Brother O'Neill,
also,
for coming to share.
Also, Sister Fowl, Sister Leo, you hearing me?
Go
clear?
Ahead.
I want to share another update. There's I don't know if anyone on the line ever heard about AI, artificial intelligence.
Yes.
So you're on the phone speaking to me right now. Artificial intelligence can mimic your voice and use it on different platform to do whatever. And it seems like it's something out of your character has been done, which you did not do. But artificial intelligence use your voice to accomplish certain things that they want to do. And that's what artificial intelligence is. So right now, I don't know if you guys hear about it, but it has been say that artificial intelligence now bring back Sister White to life. So that's what the article says. And artificial intelligence is satanic. Spiritualism. It is spiritualism. So they say now they can use artificial intelligence to allow Sister White to speak to us. That is satanic. You understand?
Yes.
That is totally satanic, and that is one of the enemy is in it. But I want to share this article
from this article
I got the information from. Let me share the article from the information.
Go ahead.
Ellen White comes to life through artificial intelligence, and you can talk to her. You hear that? That's the article. It says, then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up the prophet Samuel. You hear what? Who wanted that? Who did that? Which king did that? Went to the witch of Endor? The witch of Endor? So what is happening now? Are we seeing modern spiritualism being promulgated? What it says, artificial intelligence, AI, has the ability to stimulate certain aspects of human behavior. Hear that? Including imitate. Remember I told you whatever I told you, that somebody can imitate your voice and make it seem like it was you? Like imitating people, dead or alive. Hear that? With advance in technology, AI has already learned how to mimic human speech, writing style, even the visual appearance of real human beings. One of the leading search engines for AI is Google. You know what I said? One of the leading, which is on board with AI, is Google. And Google is run by the global elites, he says. He says, AI has learned how to mimic human speech, writing style, and even visual appearance of real human beings. Chatbot or virtual assistant stimulate human communication and give the impression that you are speaking with a real person. You hear that? Okay. So it says, AI can generate synthetic images or videos that resemble specific individuals. Even though these new advancements have their limitations, there are techniques such as deep learning that are working on replicating human conciseness. AI stimulation can be virtually realistic and appear human-like, and those who engage in this experience can be tempted at times to believe they are speaking to someone real. Yeah, so the article said, so the article here says, ask Ellen G. White, chat with Sister White. I am Ellen G. White, a prolific writer and renowned prophetess of Seventh-day Adventist Church. Artificial intelligence has brought me back to life. You hear what they said? However, the speech take my response with a grain of salt. So this is what they are saying, that artificial intelligence can bring back someone to life. A guy did presentation on it. He did a presentation showing you exactly that artificial intelligence is rooted in spiritualism. Artificial intelligence is controlled by demons, and he was showing you in Deuteronomy, was speaking about necromancy and all these people. You must not go to them and all these things. And that is what this thing is all about. So I just want to get some awareness. And we know one of the last deception that Satan will do, which is to impersonate who? Jesus Christ. That is the last deception. But the Bible teaches us and tells us that Christ will never touch part of the earth. He will
That's
not
right.
touch the earth. He will come. He will be in the air. He said he will be in the air. As 1 Thessalonians 4 from verse 15 through 18 tell us that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And we know with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and they that are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air. So that means that Christ not putting his foot on the earth, right? They're going to caught up to meet him in the air. So this is one of the things that Satan is preparing through artificial intelligence, is preparing the mind of people for this grand deception. You heard what I said? With artificial intelligence, he's preparing the mind of people for this grand deception. And I want to warn everyone on this platform that everything that we see that is out there, maybe our friends are doing it, maybe our family members are doing it, maybe some of the brethren are doing it, that not makes it right. So that's my encouragement to us. So thank you, Sister Leola, for affording me the time to share that.
Amen. Amen. All right, then. Thank you, Brother O'Neill. But you know one good thing about it? Christ has given us his word. He says that these things will come. And he says that the things, he talks about how some of the things that will increase, knowledge will increase. And then also he tells us, ain't nothing new under the sun. So all this wickedness will take place. And we just got to stand firm. We got to know Christ. And that's why we are studying. That's why we are praying. Because God says that those that stand, and that those that stand together, and brothers and sisters, that's why we are here on the prayer line. Let us stand together, pray together, stand together. Let us stand. The Bible says they that stand will not fall. But they that are divided, if you want to be divided, he says, if you're divided, you will fall. So let us stand firm. So thank you, Brother O'Neill. And when we pray together, we stay together. So all this help keep us strong in Christ Jesus. So let me open the next line. And I want to thank you, Brother O'Neill, for bringing us some update information. May God bless and keep you informed in all these things, and you can, because what we will miss, we get it through someone on the prayer line. Amen. So thank you once again. God bless. Amen. So we're going to go to the next caller. We're going to open your line. Amen. We have 857-505. Your line is open. Amen.
Amen, amen. Hello, Sister Miola. Hello, my brothers and sisters on the Azalite Ministry. My name's Brother Eli. I like to thank God for his love and his mercy because God is good. He's worthy to be praised. Sister Miola, I would like to thank God for everything you have done for me and my mother. And Sister Miola, my dear sister, I have a prayer request. My prayer request is to pray for my mother, lift up my mother in prayer, and Sister Miola, don't forget, Sister Miola, don't forget to tell Sister Power I'm doing a good job with my boundaries because I'm Deacon Dylan say I am doing a good job with my boundaries. Don't forget to tell Sister Stephanie and Sister Power that let me pray for individuals, Sister Miola. I feel that in my heart at this moment to pray for someone on this line because someone
Eli,
needs deliverance.
Go into prayer. Amen. Be brief.
Okay,
go
you
ahead
want
and pray.
Me? Amen, amen. Yes, Lord. God, Heavenly Father, Lord, we magnify your name, God, at this moment, Lord. How excellent is your name, God. God, we come to you, Lord, at this moment, Lord. God, we want to deliver Sister Miola, God, who is hosting, Lord. We ask you, God, to come deliver Sister Miola, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We ask you, God, to give Sister Miola the strength, Lord. We ask you, God, to give Sister Miola deliverance, God. God, we want to thank you, God, for what you have done for Sister Miola, Lord. God, I want to lift up Sister Tamiko, God, and her family members, Lord. God, Sister Tamiko says she needs prayer, Lord. We ask the God to give her deliverance, Lord. We ask the God to break every chain for her, Lord. We ask the God to allow her to stand firm, Lord. Allow her to keep the faith in you, Lord. Because God, there is no one else like you, Lord. Allow her to keep the faith in you, Lord. Allow her to read, Lord, Psalms 27, Lord. The Lord is my rock and my salvation. Who shall I be afraid? Yes, Lord. I want to lift up her beloved mother, Lord. Sister Dorothy, Lord. We ask God to strengthen Sister Dorothy, Lord. We ask God to watch over Sister Dorothy, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We ask God to want to lift up Sister Dorothy. Grandchildren, Lord. Sister Dorothy's beloved daughters, Lord. God, we ask God to strengthen them, Lord. God, we want to lift up Sister Tamiko's sister, God. Sister Linda, Lord. Bless Sister Linda, Lord. Watch over Sister Linda, Lord. God, we want to thank you, God, for everyone. We want to thank you, God, for what you have done for us, Lord. God, we want to lift up Brother Brian to you, Lord. Bless Brother Brian, Lord. We ask God to come bless Brother Brian, Lord, on the Avalanche ministry, Lord. We ask God to allow Brother Brian, Lord, to bring a word, Lord. Allow Brother Brian, God, to bring a message on the Avalite ministry, Lord. We ask God to open his eyes, Lord. We ask God to give Brother Brian deliverance, Lord. We ask God, allow Brother Brian, God, to bring your word, God, on the Avalite ministry, Lord. It's time for people to wake up, Lord. It's time for them to wake up, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we ask God to strengthen Brother Brian, Lord. We ask God, allow him to bring a word, God, on the prayer line, Lord, on the Avalite ministry, Lord. Oh, God, we ask God to watch over him, Lord. We ask God to cover him, God, with your blood, Lord. Allow him to study your word, Lord. Allow him to say hallelujah, Lord, on the Avalite ministry, Lord. God. Allow him to say it's time for people to baptize in you, Lord. Bless every single one of us, Lord. Bless Brother Brian, Lord. Strengthen him, Lord. Give him the strength, Lord. Give him deliverance, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. God, strengthen him, Lord. Strengthen Sister Powell, Lord. Strengthen everyone, God. Bless everyone, God. God, in the name of Jesus. Bless Sister Carla, Lord. Bless Brother Akeem James, Lord, who's come and preach on the prayer line, Lord. Bless him, Lord. Watch over Brother Akeem James. Watch over individuals, Lord. Bless individuals, God. God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Eli, for just lifting us up in prayer. And we want to remember what we had on Chatham 2, a blessing. We had that prayer. We are reading that prayer book, and we are to have certain prayers in our prayer closet. So we just want to thank God for what we learned on Chatham 2, how we should take prayers to our prayer closet. Amen. But the public prayer, we should not be alone. So thank you, Brother Eli, for that. And we're going to also let's ask, if there's anyone else that would like to share. We have others on. One, and your line could be open. If there's no one else, I wanted to just share a little part. I had opened up with the God Love for Man. God Love for Man. And I just wanted to read this little short part before we open up in prayer. And it says, The heart of God yearns over his earthly children with a love stronger than death. And giving up his son, he has poured out to us all heaven in one gift, the Savior life, the ministry of angels, pleading of the Spirit, the Father working above through all the unceasing interesting of heavenly beings, are all enlisted in the behalf of man's redemption. Oh, let us contemplate the amazing sacrifice that has been made for us. Let us try to appreciate the labor and energy that heaven is expending to reclaim the lost and bring them back to the Father's house. Motivate stronger an agency more powerful could never be brought into the operation. The exceeding reward for right doing, the enjoyment of heaven, the society of angels, the communion and love of God and his Son, elevation and the extension of all powers throughout eternal ages, are these one mighty incentive and encouragement to urge us to give the heart-loving service to our Creator and Redeemer. So, brothers and sisters, God love for man. So we're going to go into prayer, amen, and we're going to begin to offer a prayer for all our brothers and sisters. And I'm gonna ask Sister Power if she would just offer a prayer. Let me see if she has the time, if we can open up. Let's see. Sister Power?
Yes, you're hearing me?
Yes, ma'am. I'm hearing you. Are you available to offer a prayer for everyone? I want to give you.
Yes, because we're already prayer, so we can, you know, pray about.
Well, the minister, we don't have a minister tonight. I'm gonna play a short clip. Brother Akeem is not here, and I don't have anyone tonight. So, but if you want to share something,
okay.
He couldn't do it tonight. He couldn't do it tonight.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yes, so we can. We still can. Okay. So you're ready for the prayer?
Yes, I'm ready for the prayer.
Okay. All right. Yes, my dear beloved, on this line, we have a wonderful time with praise report and testimony, and we do know that we have a loving Father who hear, and we promise that he will hear and answer our prayer. And now is the time that we are going into our general prayer. We are asking my brothers and sisters who can kneel or who can bow, and I will give you all a few minutes so that you can reach out. You know the names of our sisters. You and the Lord know the desire of our heart. You know, and you know what you need. So I will just give you a few minutes so that you can present your prayer to the Lord, and then I will thank you again. All right. Said assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a fortress of glory divine. Most righteous and eternal Father, which art in heaven. Lord, we come before you this moment. Nothing in our hands we bring, but simple to the cross we cling. We come before you, Lord, because you said that you have created us in the image and likeness of you. You said to us in your word, your blood was sacrificed for us because of love. And this evening, Lord, we all want to let you know how much we appreciate your sacrifice. We appreciate your love. We appreciate, Lord, your compassion, your caring. We all appreciate you providing for your sons and your daughter. especially, Lord, you said in your word, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as we come this moment, thanking you, Lord, for forgiving us of all our sins and allowing us that to keep our eyes fixed upon you, who you are, the righteous judge, and where you are in the most holy sanctuary, interceding on our behalf. We come to you boldly to the throne to let you know we thank you for that sacrifice. We thank you for that love. We thank you for the sanctuary, heavenly sanctuary, where you are. And we thank you for our brothers and our sisters who came on to share the joy and the blessings and to pray for each other, to lift us up to you, Lord, and what you have done in their life, Lord. So we just want to give you thanks, Lord. This evening, Lord, we present the new message with AI. Lord, we know, dear Lord, the enemy is working like a roaring lion. You have warned us about it, Lord. We know that spiritualism take over the state of the dead, Lord, because you show us that the dead, you know, is Gregor, the Satan is going to raise the dead, and the dead is going to personate as our loved one, Lord, to come to us to let us know that the Sabbath has been changed. We know that is the Sabbath they are killing themselves after, but your Sabbath will never change. No care what they have done, you are the creator of heaven and earth and all that is in it, and you are the creator that created man in his own image. So no care what the enemy is doing, dear Lord, he cannot create man in your own image. So Lord, we know, dear Father, that you will be with us, and you promise that you will be with us even to the end. So we are not supposed to be worrying and fear, but all we should do to, as an example, you are our example for us to keep our eyes fixed upon you daily so that we can have your character of righteousness by faith in Christ, so that we will live with you for eternity. So Heavenly Father, we place every brother and every sister on this line this evening, every children, every son, every daughter, you know every one of them by name. It names who are mentioned, Lord Jesus, as where you are in the holy sanctuary there, names will be accepted and names will be rejected. I'm asking you, Lord, please do not reject our names from that book of life. Allow us, dear Lord, that we every day can feel their presence and know that you are with us if we keep our eyes upon you and follow your example, because you told us in your word that prayer is the one who reach up to you, not bringing you down to us, but reaching up to you, our daily prayer three times a day, just like how Daniel have prayed and have faith in you. You ask us, Lord Jesus, that we should have our public prayer, our classic prayer, dear Lord, and that we could present everything to you in our secret closet, Lord, because you are there with us and you hear, and you promise that you will answer us. Help us, Lord, on this line here, Advent light, that each one of us, Lord Jesus, here by name, that we will have time with you to spend with you in your words, dear Father, and in our secret closet, so that we can be mindful to know that you will be with us and you will lead us into righteousness. So we want to thank you, Lord. We ask you to help us that our prayer life will live up to the standard. Our witnessing out there with our brothers and sisters, love our brothers and sisters and our neighbors, just as how you love us and how you told us how we should pray and love one another. So, Lord, we just want to thank you for the counsel that you have given unto us, Lord, the words in the Holy Writ and the prophetess, our prophetess that you have given unto us, Lord, to present the message a little clearer to us so that we can understand it, Lord. So we just want to thank you. This evening, Lord, we won't be having a pastor to preach, but, Lord, we are presenting again every name that was repeated first, Lord, because you know every one of us by name, nature. You know even the strand of ear on every one of us who join here this moment and our family members, Lord. So we place them to you this evening, and we have that blessed assurance that even those who are not here on the line, Lord, you know them, we present, and you know the desire of their heart. You know what they need, Lord. And as we pray together, Lord, and stick together, study together, dear Lord, you will pour out your sweet Holy Spirit upon us. And Holy Spirit is the one who you have left to guide us and to allow us, Lord, to remember the truth and to know the truth. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth that you have given unto this remnant church, Lord Jesus. Although the enemy is trying to tear the truth away, but he cannot tear the truth away because you told us you have placed the truth and you love to hear when your children settle in the truth, and the truth is what supposed to be going out to present to the world. So we just want to thank you. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for answering prayer, especially to all the Lord. You have been using the youth, Lord. These youths are 12, 13. Some of them are 5-year-old and singing songs of 3 verses, Lord, and presenting you and what they want to turn, and also sharing your 3-angel message out there on the street, Lord. So you told us, yeah, these things is going to happen. We are going to see things happen in this world that never happened since creation. And we just want to thank you for your message that going out like wildfire, like summer leaves throughout the world, Lord Jesus. So we just want to thank you. So now, dear Lord, as we are preparing to listen to your word, we ask you to bless Pastor Akeem James, wherever he is. He told us he wasn't going to be here. We ask you, Lord, for your strength towards him and your protection towards him, and give him the word as he is in the minister for a conference church. We ask you, Lord, not to let him hold back the words presented, but he will present the truth because you said you want the truth, Lord, to go out like wildfire to the people. It is in your word. Father, we ask you to bless each one of us again, Sister Leola Umani. Lord, Sister Carla came on, and we call the name and repeat the name already. So, Lord, I lift up us in a group to you, dear Lord. And I do know each one of us who pray and lift us up, you hear our cry, and you promise that you will answer our cry according to your riches in glory. Fill us with your sweet, sweet spirit, Lord, tonight, and allow the message that will be coming down, Lord Jesus, that we will listen and also take notes, that we will write scripture passages that we can go again after to study. Bless us, we pray, and we thank you for hearing, and we thank you for answering, and thank you for every home that represent on this line today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen. And thank you, Sister Powell, for lifting us all up in prayers. And brothers and sisters, we will hear Brother Randy Skeet, powerful message that he usually bring to us. So let us begin. So,
Lord, okay. How are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many they be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Psalm 3. God is good. And all the time. Say it again. God is good. And all the time. Ladies, God is good. And all the time. Gentlemen, God is good. And all the time. Everybody, God is good. And all the time. Psalm 100 verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. Which means, if truth will endure to all generations, one day error will come to an end, along with those who persist in living their lives by error. Let me say that again. Truth will endure to all generations. Error will one day come to an end, along with those who persist in living their lives based on error. Good evening, everyone. How do you do? You look well. I missed you today. Why are you laughing? I just spoke the truth. Did you miss me a little bit? Just a little bit. Nothing more than that. All right. Well, let me stop begging and fishing. It's nice to see you. Who's with us for the very first time? Raise your hand. First time. First time since we began November 24. Ah, God bless you. God bless you. May the blessing of God sweep all over to enfold all those who raise your hands. You're with us for the first time. Who is with us tonight? You are not a Seventh-day Adventist. Raise your hand. You're not an Adventist. Would you stand? Let's look you over. Please stand. You are not a Seventh-day Adventist. This is very impressive. If I had a microphone and I had the time, I would get everybody's name, but we don't have the time. God bless you. God bless you. All our guests on this side, God bless you and your families. God bless you on the main level. God bless you. God bless you. And all over here, God bless you, our non-Seventh-day Adventist friends. Thank you for coming. Let the church say, that's weak. Say it again. One more time. God is good. And all the time. Yes, my friends, please be seated. And we hope you'll make plans to come to see us again tomorrow. We are not tired of seeing you. I want to answer a question tonight. I was not moved to answer any questions last night for very obvious reasons, but I want to answer one tonight, very serious, particularly since I heard a comment from our speaker this morning, which was so appropriate. And before I answer the question, let's pray and ask God for wisdom. Loving Father in heaven, in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 2, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Father in heaven, as I answer a simple question, but a very important question, give me the words to speak, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm summarizing the question. It is essentially this. Is it all right to be romantically involved with a member, someone not of the church, if there's some possibility for soul winning in that effort? Let me say that again. The question is it all right to be involved with someone not of the church if the possibility exists of winning the person to Christ? Now, the way the question was put is very clever because it includes evangelism, which is why we exist. When God tells us to do something or not do it, we must obey God without one iota of negotiation. Listen to 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. You may go there quickly. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. It is a passage with which you are familiar. Here's what it says. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Now we can stop right there. Of course, the answer is none, none. And there are five such questions. Each question must be answered none. Now let's listen to, let's repeat one of the statements. What communion hath light with darkness? Now, let's go to Genesis 1. Quickly. Well, I won't wait. I'll just go right ahead. We read from verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Listen to verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. Listen carefully. And God divided the light from the darkness. In the creation, God built a spiritual lesson. He does not want light and darkness coexisting. It is from this that Paul asks the question, what communion have light with darkness? He is drawing from Genesis 1, 3, and 4. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. In the creation, I say, God is teaching us. He wants light and darkness kept separate. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, when the Israelites were on the banks, they could see the promised land. Moses repeats. He goes over all the instruction God had given them over 40 years of wandering. And he tells them in verse 3 of Deuteronomy 7 regarding the nations they would encounter in Canaan, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Not because God didn't love them. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But when it comes to spiritual training and beliefs, distinctions must be made. According to the Bible, a believer must not marry an unbeliever. Somebody who is not afraid of the truth, say amen. And you say to me, well, what is a believer? Let me give you some insight from the pen of inspiration. Letters to Young Lovers, page 87, paragraph 3. Though the companion of your choice was in all other respects worthy, which he is not, yet he has not accepted the truth for his time. He is an unbeliever.
No.
Then in a Seventh-day Adventist context, what is an unbeliever? Someone who does not follow present truth. Now, let me repeat quickly. God loves how many people? Everybody. But he told the Israelites, do not marry non-Israelites. Now, if they become Israelites, yes. As a Seventh-day Adventist, you are forbidden by the Bible. You are forbidden by the church. You are forbidden by the spirit of prophecy to marry outside of the church. You are absolutely forbidden. If you are presently involved in such a relationship, in the strength of God, break it off tonight. Don't wait. Tonight, as soon as you leave, send a text and say, I was reminded of something I really knew deep in my heart. I have been misleading you. I have been giving you the impression that my church tolerates that kind of behavior. I apologize and I hereby discontinue this relationship. This is not a discussion. This is an announcement. If you are afraid, invite the young man to this meeting. I will tell him myself. In your presence. Here's what I'll tell him. I'll tell him you are wrong. I'll tell him he has good taste. Are you with me? But I'll tell him, you're wrong. But this can't continue. I was in a certain country on the face of the earth. I was preaching and counseling. This young lady came to me. She was involved outside of the church. I told her bluntly, it has to stop. It is offensive to God. She said, but we've been going 2 years. I said, I couldn't care less. It's wrong. I said, call him. She called him. He came. And I told him in front of her, she's wrong. God bless you for thinking high and having good taste. She is wrong. And this cannot continue. And he understood. He shook my hand. And I heard from her 3 months ago. She never went back to him. It is, listen to this frightening statement. Adventist Home, page 67, paragraph 1. What did I say? To connect with an unbeliever is to place yourself on Satan's ground. You grieve the Spirit of God and forfeit his protection. Do you know what forfeit means? You give it up. Can you afford to have such terrible odds against you in fighting the battle for everlasting life? But some of us are so stubborn. Here's what we say to God. I don't care what you say. I want a man. The daughters of Lot, they essentially said to God, we don't care about thou shalt not commit adultery. We want children and we will sleep with our father to get them. That's how many of us function. I don't care what you say, God. I want a man. I don't care what you say. I want a woman. I don't care what you say. I want a child, whether I have a husband or not. Then we suffer and we blame God. One more quotation and I get off this uncomfortable subject. Letters to Young Lovers, page 83, paragraph 1. I have heard that you are intending to marry a man who is not a believer. I am unable to write you a long letter, but I will say, if you take this step, you depart from the plainest injunction or commandment of Scripture and cannot expect or claim God's blessing on such a union. Let me say it one more time that it may be recorded in heaven. If you are in a mixed relationship, break it off as soon as this service ends. Let me go a little further. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6. You read verse 1. I don't want this to turn out to be my sermon, but it's already, what time is it, doctor? 7:20. Genesis 6, reading from verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Stop. Genesis 6 introduces the flood. And the reason for the flood, the wickedness of the antediluvian world. But you will observe the only clearly identified sin is mixed marriages. The only clearly identified, I said, not the only clearly identified, the sons of God, descendants of Seth, the holy line, saw the daughters of men, descendants of Cain, that they were fair, attractive, beautiful. And they took them wives of all which they chose. Listen to verse 4 and see what that kind of thing leads to. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and there bare children to them, the same became mighty men. Now keep this in mind, which were of old men of renown. They became mighty men. Let's look at one example of a mighty man emerging from these mixed marriages. Go to Genesis 10. We read from verse 8. I didn't intend to take this long, but this is a matter of great seriousness. Genesis 10, reading from verse 8. And Cush begat Nimrod. Read the next few words for me. Nice and loud, my King James family. Come on. He began to be a what? A mighty one in the earth. Now listen to Genesis 6:4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and there bare children to them, the same became mighty men. Not mighty for righteous reasons, mighty for sinful reasons. And the mightiest of the mighty that emerged from mixed marriages was Nimrod, the founder of the first kingdom on earth, and the one who founded what we call Babylon. He was the mighty one, a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech and Akkad and Calneh in the land of Shinar. Nimrod, the result of a mixed marriage, laid the foundation for Babylon. And as an Adventist, you know about Babylon in the book of Revelation. As much as this may irritate you, if you are in a mixed relationship, now if you're married, you can't leave. Are you with me? You can't leave. If you are scheduled to be married tomorrow, break it off tonight. No, I'm not joking. If you're scheduled to marry that person right after the service tonight at 8:30, what am I about to say? Break it off. Listen to me. There is no safer life to live than a life of unquestioning obedience to God. Many of us, we never see the power of God in our lives because we negotiate with God. The Bible says, do not eat the swine. I don't care if science has shown it has more vitamin B than beef. I just don't care. God says, don't eat it. That's how the Christian lives. What did God say? Don't eat it. I don't eat it. God says, avoid alcohol. I avoid alcohol. That's how we're to live, my brothers and my sisters. Under conditions like this, I normally make a call for all those involved in relationships to come and make a commitment to break it off. But I won't do that tonight. No, I do. I do. But you may relax. But I want you to make a commitment tonight. Break it off. As your brother in Christ, I tell you in plain English, you are wrong. It is sin. A Seventh-day Adventist minister is not authorized to marry an Adventist and a non-Adventist. Now, he can marry a Baptist and a Catholic. He can marry a Jehovah's Witness and a Mormon. He can marry an atheist and a demon. But he can't marry an Adventist and a non-Adventist. If he does, he risks having his credentials suspended or revoked permanently. That's how serious the church is. Not because we're better than anyone else. If you're Catholic, marry a Catholic. You're an atheist, marry an atheist. Whatever you are, marry of the same. And if you are Seventh-day Adventist, a member of God's remnant, find a Seventh-day Adventist. And ladies, don't give me this argument, there are no men in the church. And the men outside the church are nicer. No. If you think there are no men in the church, you serve a God who made the first man. Are you with me? You can't find one, he'll make you one. Trust God. Somebody say amen for God. Ah, God wants obedience. That's all he wants. Obedience. All right. I'm through with that. Do you still love me? Say yes. Okay. All right. I love you too. I want to see you in the kingdom of God. I really do. What time is it, Professor? What? 7 what? 7:30. Give me half an hour. Is that okay? All right. What kind of a man am I? Strange man. Don't say it so loudly. What's this? What am I about to pick up? What do I want you to use? All right. Turn the phone off. Turn the Bible on. Favor number two, while I'm speaking, pray for me and say, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth. That's based on Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9, which says, Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. What a tremendous privilege it is to know that God puts his words in your mouth. Are you conducting a Bible study during the week? Ask God, Father, put your words in my mouth. By the way, let me suggest something to you that works for me. Before you answer an email or a WhatsApp text, any form of communication, pray. And say, Lord, give me the right words. I am extremely serious. Before you reply to an email, a text, or whatever, from Viber, Snapchat, Instagram, you name it, say, Lord, give me the right words to say. Because sometimes messages go to the wrong people. Am I right? Haven't you ever sent a message and say, oh, that was not intended for him or her? Ask God, give me the right words so that your words always savor of life unto life. Favor number three, I want you to think as you listen. Think very deeply. Think microscopically. Let the truth be taught to you by the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Loving Father in heaven, I have spoken very boldly to your sons and daughters, my brothers and sisters. Help them to understand, Father, my first responsibility is to you. I must answer to you, dear God, for what I say. And so I ask you, Father, that you would take what I've said, harsh as it was, and apply to their hearts, dear God, that they may see the saving value in obeying God, doing things your way. Now, as I present this brief message, speak through me very directly, dear God. Where I have offended you, Father, forgive me, Father. Give me hatred for sin, and give me a love for righteousness that is greater than my love for life. I offer this prayer, also asking you to pronounce a special blessing on all our guests. In Jesus' name and for his sake, let God's people say, Amen and Amen. Genesis chapter 2, reading verse 7, our subject, help from above. What did I say? Help from above. Quickly, Genesis 2, verse 7. You know it without looking. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Let's reread that verse. This time we shall read it closely, microscopically. Then I'll ask you a question or two. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Question for you. How many things did God do in that verse? Quickly. Listen to the verse. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. How many things did God do in that verse? Two. What were they? He formed man, then he breathed into his nostrils. Very good. He formed man from what? The dust of the ground. Where was the dust of the ground? On the earth. Beneath. What was the second act that God carried out? He breathed. Where's the breath from? Where's God from? Above. Here's what I want you to fix in your mind. When God made man, God built into mankind's creation this lesson. The life that God desires of us is a life that is energized from power by power from above. A life lived disconnected from heaven is not life, it's just existence. Let me try to say that more simply. To live the life as God desires life to be lived, there must be cooperation between heaven and earth, or heaven and earth. The dirt from the earth, the breath from above. This is God's ideal. Heaven and earth working together, not necessarily for the benefit of heaven, but for the elevation and the blessing of earth. When God made Adam, it did not improve God. You can't improve God. But it did something for Adam. As Adam obeyed, he grew. When he sinned, he declined. Obedience is for our blessing, is for our growth. Cooperation with God is for our advancement. God does not advance. God does not grow. God does not improve. God is God. Let me repeat. The life God desires you and me to live, the ideal life, is a life lived in cooperation with heaven. And so the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Breathe into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. In the creation of Adam, as I said, is built in the lesson that a meaningful life requires contact with heaven. Another lesson was built into the creation of man. Let me ask you this. When Adam stood up, alive, walked around, what was he made of? Dust. Did God add any more dust to Adam? No. No. He had all the dust he needed. Are you following me? We'll see, yes or no. All right. Did God have to add breath to Adam? Did Adam have to keep breathing? Did he have to keep adding dirt? No. Where did the breath come from? Now, in other words, God is teaching us that which comes from heaven must be resupplied how often? Come on. Don't embarrass me like this. That which comes from heaven must be resupplied how often? Moment by moment. Question for you. If I lose a leg, can I still live life? Yes. If I lose both legs, can I still live? Yes. When I lose a leg, what have I lost? Let's see who's thinking. What have I lost? Dust. That's all I've lost. Dust. Makes it difficult for me to jump and play basketball, but I've just lost dust. If I lost both legs, can I live? Yes. So the essence of life is not the dust. It's the breath. If I lose both legs and both arms, can I live? If I lose both legs, both arms, both ears, can I live? Yes. If I lose the breath, can I live? No. Then what's the lesson God has built into the creation of man? You must depend on me moment. Every breath reminds you of God. This is no joke. God made us in such a way that every breath is designed to remind us of our dependence upon God, of our need for a cooperative relationship with heaven. To remind us that without heaven, we are nothing. With this in mind, as we consider sacrifice and service, you know, Jesus said, without me, you can do what? Nothing. I want to give you some courage tonight to let you know that when you decide to work for God, you are not alone. God is present in the person of His Spirit and His angels to assist the child of God who desires to do God's work, to serve Him, whether directly or by the jobs you do, by the life you live, by your classroom activities, whatever it is, God is always poised to assist. Because the earth, the effort coming from earth is only meaningful to God if it is mingled with divine power. Let me say that differently. God's desire for us is that human effort be mingled with divine power in everything we do except sin. When it comes to sin, we need no help from God. Let me explain what I mean. That heaven is always ready to assist the earth. Let us go to Daniel chapter 8. Daniel 8, let's go there quickly. Our subject is what? Help from above. Daniel 8. We read from verse 14. By the way, Daniel 8:14 is identified by the Spirit of Prophecy as the single most important Bible verse in the theology of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Here's what she writes in Great Controversy, page 409, paragraph 1. The scripture which above all other had been both the foundation and the central pillar of the Advent movement was the declaration, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. That verse, above all others, is the foundation stone of what we know in this church as present truth. And so the verse says, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And Daniel heard one saint, according to verse 13, speaking to another saint, and giving this answer in the one sense, saying, how long shall be division concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? Verse 13. And the answer comes, 2,300 days. Now, Daniel is seeing this vision. Verse 15. And it came to pass that when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then before me they stood as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. Stop. This, Daniel 8:14, was part of a vision that Daniel did not fully understand. That along with the activities of what the Bible calls the little horn. And I can't get into all of that tonight. Daniel could not understand. But I want you to observe what Daniel did. Let's read verse 15 again carefully as we continue. Help from above. And it came to pass that when I, Daniel. Now, remember what the Bible says about Daniel. As for Daniel, God gave him knowledge and skill in learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. That's what the Bible says. Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. But despite that, which we read in Daniel 1:17, Daniel was stumped by this part of the vision. And so the verse says, it came to pass that when I, Daniel, had seen the vision. Now notice the next few words. And sought what? For the meaning. Think of those words. He saw the vision. And he sought for the meaning. What does that mean? Somebody talk to me quickly. He what? All right. Someone said he sought help from God. He sought for the meaning. What does that mean? Somebody tell me, or I won't leave this place tonight. What do you understand by he sought for the meaning? Huh? He tried to what? Understand. It's essential that you understand. Daniel tried to understand first before God did something. Listen to the sequence of events. And it came to pass that when I, Daniel, had seen the vision. You see the assignment your professor gives you. You see what your mother tells you to do. You see what your boss assigned you to do for the next, budgetary period. And sought for the meaning. He tried to understand. He exercised his brain. This man with a special talent for understanding dreams and visions, he tried, the Bible says, he sought for the meaning. When he had exhausted his ability and still could not understand. The verse goes on to say, then they stood before me as the appearance of a man. Verse 16, and I heard a man's voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, what? Come on, nice and loud. Let's look at that. A voice cried out and spoke to whom? Gabriel. What did the voice say? Make this man to understand the vision. Why do I feel as though I'm talking to myself tonight? Are you listening to me? Who's Gabriel? The highest angel in heaven. Desire of Ages, page 693, paragraph 3. The mighty angel who stands in God's presence, occupying the position for which Lucifer fell, came to the side of Christ. That was Gabriel. Desire of Ages, page 234, paragraph 2. It was Gabriel, the angel next in rank to Christ, who came with a divine message to Daniel. When Gabriel came to Zacharias, the man who would be the father of John the Baptist, when he told him he'd have a son, Zacharias said in verse 18, "Whereby shall I know this of Luke 1? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And the angel answering said unto him, Luke 1:19, "I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God." What was he saying? I am not a little angel from the lowest level in heaven. Do you know who you're talking to? I am the angel that stands closest to God. This was the man who was told what? Make this man to understand the vision. Question for you. Listen to these words. Make this man to understand the vision. Seven words. Combine those words. What do you have? I'm not coming back to PNG. No, you know I'm coming back as soon as I can. Listen again. Listen to the way I say it. Make this man to understand the vision. Now, those seven words are what? A command.
Sisters and brothers, I'm in the video. I'm so happy I allowed that to go to that point because that was some good information. And we know pretty much, but Randy Skeet may bring us something a little bit more, but we know from that point how God worked it out with Daniel after God told Gabriel, make this vision plain to Daniel. So, brothers and sisters, I think we know how to, we can fill that in because we have studied that. So I'm going to end it at this time because I don't want to be over too much. So we're going to close it out, and I'm going to end it with the song. Amen? And I'm ending with this song.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything that this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain or be held I'd rather have Jesus than anything that this world affords today than to be the King of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything that this world affords.